Harper's Kennel of Stella, Missouri is proud to be sponsoring this portion of broadcasting on KNEO. Owned by Judy and Danny Harper, Harper's Kennel of Stella, Missouri specializes in French Bulldogs. For more information, the phone number is 417-628-3083.
Welcome to Crosspoint.
Crosspoint.
Crosspoint. Crosspoint. An interactive program featuring ministers and leaders of the Christian community addressing the issues that are challenging the church today. Here's your host, Mark Taylor.
The Christian life isn't about doing things the easy way. It's about following Christ wherever He leads. Welcome to Crosspoint. I'm Mark Taylor. Today's guest is the founder of Christian Engaged, which seeks to awaken, educate, and empower Christians to pray, unite, and engage in the efforts to improve the nation's well-being. Bunny Pounds, welcome to Crosspoint. Bunny, looking here at your book, Jesus and Politics, this, of course, is something we need to be talking about. And looking here on page 3, you talk about politics and governments have always been to me a great adventure and a rugged terrain that few people know how to navigate. Adventure that I am, and I have followed the call of God up as on a quest to impact the America I love. So you believe that your part in all of this is something that God has kind of asked you to do, to be a part of, to help people get engaged in politics?
Yeah, I started out as a homeschooling mom that testified in front of a platform committee for a, you know, resolution I wanted passed, and I got really hooked that I could have a voice, that I could make a difference, that I could shift even a platform resolution for a particular political party. And that led to me going back to college, going to work for a U.S. congressman, and then running a firm, one of the largest consulting firms in Texas, for local candidates, county and state and federal candidates. And I learned really fast, Mark, you know, God can use our individual voices. He can use our lives for His glory. For me, it's been in government and politics. And now I want to encourage Christians that they can make a difference. Just simple people. If we're obedient to step out and to pray, vote, and engage, we can see great impact in our nation.
Now, in your book, you say that one woman's walk with God in a mudslinging profession. Well, there's no doubt about it. The mudslinging is there. And on page 20 of the book, you say, for me, the worst part of politics is that relationships and friendships are constantly shifting. I discovered quickly that political friends are not real friends. And you said, for believers in Jesus who are engaged in politics or business, it is important to make sure that we do not find our identities in the latest roles or job titles. And then you go on to say that our marks of success cannot rest in having the personal numbers of state senators or getting out state representatives to take our calls or important votes. We must be grounded in Jesus and who He says we are. So how do you mesh the two together?
Well, I really have two audiences that I'm writing to in this book. Number one are Christians that just don't have a grid for getting involved in politics or government as believers. I want to encourage them that they must get involved. Every Christian in the country needs to be praying for our elected officials. We need to be voting for righteous people, voting in every election, and attempting to vote biblical values. And then we have the greatest influence, Mark, when we're stepping outside the walls of the church into our communities, carrying the gospel and carrying the presence of God. So I want to encourage Christians that have not done that to start doing that and see how God can use your life. But secondly, I want to encourage believers that are news junkies, that are ones that do track local politics, that are ones that track the presidential election ad nauseum, that... You know, that is awesome that they love politics, but we need to be Christ followers when we do that. And there's lots of things that try to come against our soul in this space, fear, pride, anger. And we have to watch over our souls and make sure that when people see us, they're not just seeing political junkies, they're seeing Christ followers that love God, that are engaging in this space for the well-being of America.
Well, what do you do? Because mudslinging is going to be inevitable. If you get deep enough into politics, you're going to get down into it. And, I mean, it's got worse every cycle. From what it used to be, it's worse now. Nobody respects anybody, even in the same party. They're just liable to say anything. So how do you deal with that?
Well, we have to win campaigns. I mean, I ran congressional campaigns for years, and so, you know, these were some of the questions we had to struggle with. But when you attack an opponent, you want to make sure that you're citing actually where you're getting that information from. And it can't be some nuanced thing. It needs to be a clear violation of conservative values, biblical values, something that they actually did wrong. And you need to be able to cite it on the mail piece, on the radio ad, where people can clearly see that information. It can't be just a rumor that you're spreading because it helps you. So making sure as believers that you're operating as close as you can, as integrous as you can in the political space. But secondly, you know, as believers, we need to be looking through and crying out for discernment and asking God to give us discernment to be able to see through some of this things that are happening. And at the end of the day, we're not fighting with people. We're fighting positions to make sure that we try not to make it so personal. We're, you know, Jesus loves the people that we're fighting against. He wants to bring them into a greater relationship with himself. So can we take on a position and not take on the person and see them as the person that God loves? That's what I want to stir Christians to do.
Okay, so there's issues that pulled you into politics. You talk about that in the part of the book there. Politics is not inherently evil. I know men and women have made them evil by the things they've done. But no, they just like anything else, everything's tainted by man. You know, it doesn't start out that way. Politics weren't actually dirty. Just dirty people got involved in politics. And that's been the problem. There's not been enough Christians, enough people with faith. I mean, strong faith, because everybody seems to be a Christian when they're running until they get elected. And then that changes. Talk to us about the involvement of people of faith, Christians, getting involved in politics, because it's obvious we've got problems in politics, and it's obvious because we don't have enough Christians in politics.
Well, exactly. Politics is just who gets what, when, and how. So we have politics everywhere. We have politics in our schools. We have politics in our churches. You know, the elders and the deacon boards are fighting for what they want. We have, you know, politics in our own families. If you go to church on Sunday, I guarantee your kids or grandkids are lobbying you for where they want to go to eat after church on Sunday. So ultimately, it's not, are we participating in politics? We should be participating in it. We should be asking our elected officials for what we want. We want strong families. We want a secure America. We want freedom to worship how we please. We want freedom to have economic freedom where we can make the money that we should make and fund the gospel, right? All of these things are righteous things. So it really means that Christians need to get involved. For me, there was three issues as a young mom that really captured my heart. Number one, the plight of the unborn. Does the unborn baby in the womb have the right to live? That was a question that I wanted to work on. Number two, the nation of Israel and the plight of the Jewish people. When we see anti-Semitism around the country and around the globe rearing up its ugly head again, do the Jewish people, do they have people of faith that are standing beside them, standing up for them in the midst of that? And frankly, the national debt and deficit spending. I mean, when I got involved 20 years ago, our national debt was $3 trillion. Now we're at $30 trillion. I mean, the American folks, we can't get our head wrapped around those numbers, but we're bankrupting our children and our grandchildren and future generations of Americans. So Christians have to get involved in some of these issues, and I'm just talking about three out of 30 issues that a Christian can get involved in.
Now, chapter 4 is entitled Teach Us to Pray. In there on that first page of that chapter, you say, those of us who are trying to protect America's first principles and our constitutional rights don't want to see our nation spiral out of control morally or financially, physically, or have a double problem. We need to know what is happening in our world. Down at the bottom, then, you say, it is also means that we have to work hard and not let news completely consume our hearts and lives. What are you saying there about the news consuming our hearts and lives?
Well, any time that we prioritize anything in our lives more than we prioritize our relationship with the Lord, we're going to get imbalanced. And I've seen a lot of Christians that truly care about this nation, care about what's happening, get consumed with the news of the day. And we have to be balanced. We need to not put our head in the sand and not being paying attention. But we also need to stay focused on what the Word of God says, spending time with the Lord, staying in the place of prayer to hear what God's perspective is on those things. And too often, you know, we're then consumed with talk radio 2-3 hours a day. Well, we become imbalanced then with those voices that we're constantly listening to. And so I want to encourage Christians to follow the news, get your news sources from different places. Don't just be listening to one voice. But, man, prioritize Jesus, prioritize hearing from the Lord. Prioritize his word above everything else.
Staying with chapter 4, teach us to pray. Now, you've witnessed the power of prayer in with people's lives during campaigns and stuff. So you believe prayer is very important in a catalyst of making this all work.
Oh, 100%. You know, the Apostle Paul talks about us praying for those in government authority over us, praying for kings and all who are in authority. You know, I want to remind the listeners that when the Apostle Paul was admonishing us to pray for our leaders, I mean, it was King Nero. I mean, he was not a great godly leader in the Roman Empire. He was killing Christians at the time. But he said, pray for your leaders that you may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and fear. We really want to lead a quiet life. The best thing we can do is to pray for our leaders for wisdom and discernment. And I have seen over and over again the hand of God come into situations, shift bills, shift legislation at the last minute, shift a relationship at the last minute. My former boss, Congressman Jeb Hensarling, got shifted into a role as financial services chairman where he frankly was not pursuing that position over a word from the Lord. So God can move on behalf of people in the nation if we pray.
In the parts of the book, the enemies of our souls in politics. First of all, on page 100, you say, we need Christians to be candidates who run for office, staffers who will work on issues, and parliamentarians who will enforce the rules, Christians who will make great judges, congresspeople, city managers, that make good legislative staffers, political activists, citizen lobbyists, but only if they live honorable and upright lives. Well, you can have, that's getting a little bit harder to find, isn't it?
It is, and I wish that was not the case, but I think we have the same problem with Christians in leadership in politics and government as we have Christians operating in all spheres of influence right now. We've abandoned our walk with the Lord. We've become lukewarm in a lot of ways. We've allowed program Christianity, as I call it, a 20-minute message on a Sunday morning to feed our souls for the rest of the week. And so we've got men and women walking into boardrooms in businesses that are operating just like the world, that are not discerning how they should operate as believers. I believe that we have the greatest gift in the Holy Spirit, in the presence of God, in the Word of God for us to draw from. But frankly, we're not drawing from that well of righteousness and wisdom. We're not being poor in spirit, realizing we need Jesus every day of our life. So the same thing we accuse politicians of are the same things that, frankly, we're walking in our own lives. And I believe that the only answer is really all of us having personal revival, realizing we need the Lord every day, going back to his word and going back to intimacy with Jesus and watching what he will do with us as leaders as we burn before the rest of people. Because truly, people will not want what we have if we're not showing them a different way. And that's what why I believe walking with Jesus is frankly the most important thing we should be doing.
Okay, so the book's entitled Jesus and Politics. If people want to find out more about this book, or maybe even get in touch with you, ask you questions, maybe they're wanting to get in politics or have questions about that, how would a person go about doing that?
Yeah, our website is ChristiansEngaged.org, Christians with an S, Engaged with a D.org. You can get the book wherever, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, but we would love to help you pray, vote, and engage securely at ChristiansEngaged.org.
Okay. Well, folks, stay with us. We're going to have more right after this. This is Mark Taylor. If you miss a broadcast of Crosspoint, you can always go to our website at www.kneo.org and click on the programs page. There you can access the current Crosspoint program as well as the last four programs that have been aired. Never miss another Crosspoint program again. Go to www.kneo.org today. Welcome back to Crosspoint. Today I'm talking with Bunny Pounds, and we're talking about Jesus and politics and something, folks, that Jesus needs to be in politics. There's no doubt about it. And, Bunny, we were talking about page 100 a while ago, but right across the page on 101, you just got a word up there. And I know it happens in any area, but politics seems to really bring it out in people. And it's the word pride. And that's in the area of the enemies of our soul in politics. That's where we start having a bunch of issues, and that when we start allowing the pride of who we are, think we are in this area.
Yeah, I share a story in that section about, I was a homeschooling mom that went back to college for 3.5 years, finished my bachelor's in political science, and I landed a job right off the bat with a U.S. congressman. And here I was, his new campaign manager, and I got my fresh minted business cards. And they were linen with these imprints, and I was like smelling the business cards. I'm like, I am somebody special. And people would ask me at church, well, what are you doing now with your life, Bunny? And I would say, oh, well, I am a campaign manager for a U.S. congressman. Like, I was somebody better than them. And it really hit my heart later. You know, these things are really subtle. We have strong Christians that start getting involved as activists. They start realizing they can have a voice. They adopt a candidate and start working on a campaign, working for a state legislator. And all of a sudden, they're best friends with them. They have their cell phone numbers. They have influence. And this little thing called pride starts sneaking in their heart. And if we don't dramatically work to pull that out of our souls, it can frankly take over and make us into ugly, angry people that nobody wants to be around. And so I want to encourage believers, yes, we have to get involved. Yes, we need to pray, vote, and engage. Yes, we need to walk in campaigns and work in campaigns. But we need to be watching over these little things like pride and fear and anger in our life and make sure that these little foxes don't spoil the whole vine.
Chapter 6 is called God Can Speak to Politicians. I'm just going to read off the first page a little here. It says, we minimize God's power in the places when we don't consider sacred. We limit God's involvement in our lives every day when we tell him how and when and where he can move through us by not inquiring of him in every circumstance. We hinder the partnership that we were created for from the beginning. So, even with us being involved in politics, God can have a plan there that he wants to work, but we're going to have to be, maybe even in an area like that, even more careful in how we implement that plan.
Exactly. A used phrase that we hear a lot when people push back against us being involved in politics is, God is in control. God is in control, so therefore we shouldn't have to do anything. Well, that's antithetically against everything that the scriptures talk about. You know, Jesus said, you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. You are the hands and feet of Jesus. The body of Christ, the local church, is supposed to bring Jesus into their community. I mean, we talk about we need to get the gospel to the ends of the earth, right? Well, how does the gospel get to the ends of the earth if we're not opening our mouths and speaking, if we're not giving money to help people carry the gospel? So we need to be thinking about righteousness can only be promoted in our areas if we are carrying that righteousness. I tell a story in that chapter about how I'm sitting on a Southwest Airlines flight with a member of Congress, and he was complaining about his leadership position and different things that were happening. And I literally just read him a scripture off the page out of Luke 12 and spoke a word over him that, you know, if he was faithful where he was planted, that God would give him his own field to take care of, not knowing that a few months later he would become financial services chairman and have his, really, the authority to deal with any kind of housing, insurance, or banking in this country. We underestimate the power of our voices and our presence and our simple conversation, but God can speak to us and he can speak through us to the people around us, and that's truly how we take sacred. We make every place sacred, that we, wherever we walk and whatever we do, becomes a sacred place because Jesus is walking with us.
In the part called Discipling the Nation, you say here on page 130, Americans are not exempt from the command of discipleship. We are to go everywhere, to our city council chambers or school boards or state houses, and even to one of the darkest places on the planet, Washington, D.C., depending on who we are in the seats of power. Our government has the opportunity to become better or worse. We have responsibility to effect change. And then you say our nation is only as good as our leaders and our participation in our government. So, maybe it is what we're seeing right now and some of the things going on in government that's about got everybody troubled in their heart is because of the less participation we've had in the government to allow it to get to this place. What do you think?
Oh, 100%. I believe that. We've only got, you know, really the body of Christ percentage-wise, statistically across the United States, is not voting any better than the general public. When you have half of the American populace not even registered to vote, and then having half of those not voting, we're seeing the same trends with the body of Christ. I'm in Texas, and we only had 8% vote in the primary so far, and we're going into Super Tuesday soon. I mean, it might get up to 10 or 12% voting and choosing who their nominee is nationally, but this is the problem. We're not participating in the process. And so we're not having a voice. We're not having our voices being heard. And so I want to encourage Christians, if you walk with Jesus, if you know him, if you're one that spends time in prayer and in the Word of God, maybe God is calling you as a leader into these places of influence. Who better to be in these city council meetings, to be in these school board meetings, to be the president of the Chamber of Commerce or the president of the Homeowners Association in your neighborhood? Can you have an impact carrying the presence of God into those places of influence? I believe we can, and we must.
Now, the part of the book is boldness like Joan of Arc. You say there in that portion that, as the old adage says, actions speak louder than words. Courage and boldness are knowing that what we do and say will affect everything in our lives, yet choosing to do anything because we deem it to be right, the cost must be counted, because together courage and zeal can cost us our life. So in other words, we better, if we're going to get into it, we better get into it, I guess is what you're saying, because, you know, we're going to face some real situations, and we better be able to take those situations.
We don't choose sometimes the battles that come to our doorstep. I wish we did. I wish that we could just say, you know what, I'm going to choose this battle. But sometimes things just happen to us. In our case, we were a ministry, Christians Engaged. We were helping Christians pray, vote, engage regularly, sending out prayer texts and scriptures, sending out voting reminders around every election. And we were building on-demand video curriculum to help Christians get involved in civics and biblical worldview. And we were not endorsing candidates. We don't endorse candidates or political parties. We just teach Christians the basic functions of civics. And we get a letter 18 months in this ministry in 2021 from the Internal Revenue Service. And they said, in this letter, official letter from the IRS, We are denying your tax-exempt status because, quote, Bible teachings are typically affiliated with the Republican Party and candidates, end quote. If you can imagine the stir that that letter caused in our little group, it was exponential. They went on to say, because you're teaching on the sanctity of human life, biblical justice, debt and taxation, Israel, these things are inherently Republican, therefore you're not nonpartisan. Well, number one, I thought the Bible was a kingdom document. I thought the Bible was written thousands of years, way before a political party platform was ever written. And I don't think the Bible is inherently Republican. And so we just took that letter over to our friend Kelly Shackelford at First Liberty Institute. And they do all these amazing First Amendment cases around the country. They filed an amazing brief and fought back on that decision. And we became a top story. I was on Fox News 3 times. We were the top story of Franklin Graham's Decision Magazine, Charisma Magazine, all these different Christian and religious publications. And, you know, thank God the body of Christ rose up, called their elected officials, started praying, writing letters to the Internal Revenue Service, and we won that case in 21 days. But I say that to say, Mark, we didn't choose that fight. That fight came to us, and we had to choose in that moment our board of directors. Are we going to take on the Internal Revenue Service, an organization that could audit our personal taxes, audit our businesses, cause us deep heartache as individuals for the sake of the overall, for the body of Christ? Or are we going to remain silent? And thankfully, our team chose to fight that, and thank God that has kept our land a lot freer.
Now, you also, I understand, there was something there about, you had, you know, some bitterness or some forgiveness about something, but paying off an opponent's debt, tell me about that, how that works, you know. How can you do things like that, you know, to cross over these different areas of things that go on in the world of politics?
Well, part of my testimony, Mark, is that I've been in politics or government for almost 20 years, and I still love Jesus. That's a huge testimony right there. But partly I want to show people that you can operate in these spheres of influence in our culture and act and be as Christ as much as you can. For me, I had I ran for Congress in 2018. It was a very high-profile race in our state. $1.3 million spent on each side of our race between our campaigns and the super PACs that supported us. And it was brutal. We went from an 8-person primary into a 2-person Republican runoff. Whoever won that runoff was going to hold that seat for decades. I lost that race by 2,700 votes out of 43,000 votes. It was very close. And realized that I had a lot of bitterness and unforgiveness related to that campaign. It's brutal when you have almost $1 million spent against you and your family. And after the race, I discovered that my opponent's consultant had floated his invoices, meaning that they never billed him during the runoff for all of his mail, TV, radio, his consultant fees. So if you can imagine, I outraced him by $300,000. And he didn't have to pay that $300,000. His consultants floated him to victory. And the injustice of that on the back end really hurt my heart. It was a legal practice. People do it all day long, but it felt like injustice to me. And a year later, I discovered that he still had $50,000 left of that debt. And I needed to do something drastic to get over the unforgiveness and offenses in my own heart towards my opponent. So I asked him if I could help pay off that debt, and I took off 3 weeks' worth of work and raised the money to finish helping pay that $50,000 off by the end of the quarter. And I'll tell you this, I got free. I got really, really free, and it was really a testimony to Christians and to people all over our area. And the beauty of that testimony is my opponent was the very first member of Congress to sign off on this book and really believes it's a story that needs to be told around the country.
That's a pretty big undertaking that you took on there, but like you said, it did leave a great testimony. Again, now, Bunny, tell people if they want to know more about the book, that you have Jesus in Politics and Politics, or maybe somebody is thinking about wanting to run for office. They don't know what to do. I guess they could contact you maybe and get some information or maybe some encouragement, whatever, get a little insight. How could they go about doing that?
Yes. Reach out to us at ChristiansEngage.org, ChristiansEngage.org. My email is bunny with an I at ChristiansEngage.org. But we have some amazing on-demand video curriculum classes to teach you about how to get involved in civic engagement, how to get involved in local government, even run for office. So you can check all that out at our website, and you can get the book anywhere you get books, on our website or at Barnes & Noble, ChristianBook.com, Amazon. All of the places have our book.
All right. Well, folks, stay with us, and we're going to return with more right after this.
At just the right time.
It just fits into what is happening in your life that day.
Just when you need it most. Thanks for making us a part of your day. 91.7 The Word.
Folks, thanks for listening today here to Crosspoint. I have with me today Bunny Pounds. We're talking about Jesus and politics. It's one woman's walk with God in a mudslinging profession. And very interesting here. Chapter 9 of the book, Bunny, you talk about prejudice on the right and on the left. You talk about there right after that that the political activity is divisive, but it doesn't have to be hostile. And then you say, from the very beginning, I've always seen politics as a missions field. Well, I guess that might be the way to handle this. When somebody's wanting to go into politics, they say it's dirty. Well, what a great place to get into a missions field. It's dirty then, because we know the enemy's there. He's got a lot of helpers, and the battle's going to be tough. But what better place to get involved and go into the mission field? But it's quite one of those missions field that you're going to have to really prepare yourself for.
Yeah, and I share so many great stories in this book. From how I was the only person in the country in the 2018 primary when I ran for Congress, endorsed by Vice President Mike Pence. And that came from a simple conversation I had with a little unknown member of Congress from Indiana 10 years before, named Mike Pence, way before he became the Vice President. I share stories of you know, even good friends of mine now, Senator Ted Cruz, who didn't endorse me before the runoff, like the night before the runoff. I'm like, what is happening? And now I had to overcome my offenses and bitterness against him. I share about conversations I've had with people that have not been from my own party. I had a dream one night about Congressman Beto O'Rourke, and I won't spoil the story, but people can get the book. But 3 months later, I'm standing in front of Congressman Beto O'Rourke, who is not of the party that I've served in, telling him how much God loves him and loves his family and sees his servant heart towards people and wants to know him even more. And it really was a real radical moment for me, because here I am at a Beto O'Rourke rally for governor, and I shouldn't have even been there, right, in the flesh. But I knew that God had sent me there as an ambassador to him. And frankly, it just reminded me again that we need to see people after the Spirit. Not with by what race they are, what socioeconomic background they're from, or what political party they're from. Frankly, we have prejudice sometimes in our hearts that we don't consider as prejudice. And for me, it was a life-changing moment for me in front of Congressman Beto O'Rourke that night, and I'm forever thankful. I think, you know, God is trying to bring us into these places of influence as kingdom people, and we have to remember we're not of this world. We don't operate in the same rules that other people operate in. And so though we go into places of influence, whether that's media, business, education, politics, we should be different. We have to be different, or we're not going to have the impact that we're desiring to have.
Now, last chapter, Love Does, is what it's called there. But you make a statement there that really speaks volumes, just a few words on page 192. How far would we push ourselves to win? And then you come up with that, $1 million or whatever else it is. You know, that's what I guess we really have to ask ourselves. If we are going to get involved in politics, I mean, how far are we willing to go? How far are we willing to push ourselves? What are we willing to take? I guess maybe with you, you've been able to give a lot of people some insight into these areas.
Yes. I mean, I ran for Congress. We couldn't find a candidate in 2018 to replace my former boss, so I jumped into a race I never saw coming, really, frankly, never saw coming, and went in there fully wide-eyed, knowing exactly what I was signing up for. I had run campaigns for 10 years previously. But it is shocking to me how many people, you know, go in and they will instantly start compromising their values. I want to just encourage people. We have many more Christian men and women in Washington, D.C. that are serving with integrity than you can imagine. We take a trip to Washington, D.C. every summer, and we meet with 10 or 12 members of Congress and senators, and we hear their faith stories, and we pray over them. And it's so encouraging for people to see that there are real Christ followers in these places of influence. You don't have to compromise your values to get there. God can put you there, number one. Number two, if you're going to get involved in this, you have to continue to stay before the Lord and continue to watch your heart and continue to do things with integrity. And believe me, God will honor you for that. Sometimes you might have a short-term failure, but just like I lost a race for Congress, 5 years later, I'm able to activate over 200,000 Christians now in our Get Out the Vote system. We're seeing thousands of Christians go through our on-demand video curriculum and programs in churches. I'm having much more influence, even after a loss, than I could have ever imagined, because God knows the beginning from the end.
Well, Bunny, I'd have to ask you this question. Just how important is this year's elections, whether it's state, national, for the president, for Christians to get involved? I mean, how important is it?
It's critical, Mark. You know, I will focus you first. I mean, when we're thinking about the presidential race, we need to look at it. I want to remind people that whoever becomes president puts in the entire executive branch, also puts in every judge, federal judge, and Supreme Court justice. So we're hiring somebody much more than just whether we love them, their talking styles, or not. You want to vote values. Secondly, we need to look at our communities. Don't just focus on the presidential election. Focus on what's happening in your communities more than anything else. In the book of Nehemiah went from a pagan courtroom of a king, he was the cupbearer, and went into Jerusalem, and within 52 days he replaced the walls and repaired the walls of Jerusalem and saved the Israelites. How did he do that? He didn't do it by looking at the whole problem. He told all the people, focus on your section of the wall, where your family is, where your community is, and repair that. And when they all did that, what happened is they all got the wall repaired. And if we would all focus in on what's happening in our homeowners association, our city council, our communities, we would see that we could have huge impact, and that's how we repair the walls of our nation.
Now, Bunny, during the time that you're running for office and being involved in politics and helping other people, you have a family. You were raising children. Today you've got children. You got grandchildren and stuff. But how did that affect your family, your husband, your kids, when you're involved? Because that can take a lot of time away from the family life.
It does. You learn a balance and you learn a flow of what that looks like. I would take my kids with me on walking in parades with the members of Congress or volunteering and helping me at a table. You can engage your family a lot more than you think. And frankly, your kids need to see that mom and dad are involved. Your mom and dad do care about your community. I love seeing the homeschooling families that bring their families along with them, everything they do. When my kids were small, I was at Dallas Baptist University. They decided to put up flags all over the campus for 9/11. So that was a club I was involved in on campus, and I was a 32-year-old mom. So I just took my kids out there, and they helped me put out flags on the campus. And they'll never forget that. They remember that to this day. So I would encourage you to get involved, but also bring your family along for the ride, because you can include them a lot into a lot of what you're doing.
Now, buddy, what do you do when things get a little tough? People get in your face. Today we've got issues out there that people are all on. It doesn't even matter if they're true or not. They just want their issues to go through. And so we can see some pretty bad words being spoke to other people these days, and even threats and things like that. How do you handle that when somebody's in your face and you're having to deal with that situation and you know what they're trying to do and you know it's wrong?
Well, again, I encourage people, you want to speak the truth in love. You don't want to back down. You want to take on a position, but try not to attack the person personally. You know, social media has become such a cesspool.
Yes.
And a lot of what we talk about when we talk about mudslinging is done on social media. So I've never seen an elected official change their vote based on somebody's, you know, tweet or their Facebook post underneath something they've said. So I want to encourage you, build relationships with your members of Congress. Don't just mouth off at them on social media. Find ways to build bridges where you can, because ultimately you're not going to change their mind if you're not willing to have a conversation with them and bring them over to your point of view. You know, try to take on the position, not the person, is what we teach at Christians Engaged.
So, Bunny, where did your background come from? Were you raised in a family that really promoted politics, or maybe was politicians in some area, or was involved in city council, whatever? I mean, or is this something that just the Lord laid on you that actually your family had never really been a part of?
Yeah, actually, my parents were very apolitical. I grew up as a pastor's kid in a denomination where I don't remember anyone ever talking about government, politics, even voting. So we were very, you know, not confrontational at all. And I think it really just hit me in Bible school. I remember as a young 18-year-old, I was a part of a mission on campus called Moral Issues. And I went and stood outside of an abortion clinic and prayed for people and tried to have conversations with women. And I realized how incredibly powerful that just stance was, to be there, to be somebody that said, this is not okay, but I love you. I love you in the midst of your pain. I remember going down to Mardi Gras, you know, which is this huge party, you know, in New Orleans, and having a bullhorn and preaching on the street and telling people how much God loved them, even in the midst of their sin. And it just showed me in all of those incidents as a young person, if you stand up for truth with tears of love in your eyes, you can make a huge difference. You know, Christians, we can't just speak the truth. We have to speak the truth in love. And that's my main message, really, as I'm trying to engage Christians more.
Well, and that's kind of how you wrap the book up. One thing you do say here in the back of the book, though, that caught my attention was awakening the church for the well-being of America. The church really needs to be awakened, or we're going to have some real we're going to have some real issues. The church, bottom line, has got to get involved, correct?
Correct. And that's why after my race for Congress, I shut down my consulting firm and I started a ministry called Christians Engaged. The Lord told me that he's waking up his church right now, but we need to be plugged into habits of prayer, voting, and engagement. And so we created step one of that is for people to take our pledge to pray, vote, and engage around the country. Let us remind you to pray every Monday. Let us remind you to vote in every election and start getting educated and involved. And we have built the system and the curriculum packages and the understanding of how to do that wherever God's called you. We would love to walk beside every person listening to help you engage for America right now. We truly are the answer in our world today.
final thought here, epilogue of your book, you say, my hope for you, my prayer throughout the planning, writing, and editing of my simple story in politics is that he would surprise you and his presence touch your heart so deeply that you would know he's near and capture your heart completely with his love. He died for you so that you could live and walk with him every day. Simply let him by picking up his word. That's a key right there, knowing God's word.
Nothing more important than the gospel of Jesus Christ, Mark, that we would understand that he is death, burial, and resurrection sets us free if we simply put our faith and hope in him. And frankly, I wish a civic engagement ministry didn't have to exist, but we need to exist because Christians need to protect liberty so ultimately people can hear the gospel. So we have the freedom to share that beautiful story everywhere in our communities, and to frankly share the gospel and have the economic means to send the gospel around the world. That's why I get up every day and do what I do, and I believe every Christian needs to get involved to protect liberty in America for the sake of the gospel.
Well, buddy, tell us again how people can find out more about your ministry in this book, Jesus and Politics.
Yeah, ChristiansEngage.org. Take our pledge to pray, vote, and engage. Check out our on-ramp to civic engagement seminar if something we've said during this interview has pricked your heart to start getting involved. And you can also help fund a movement of Christians. We are going to reach 1 million Christians before the 2024 presidential election, so you can help us do that as well.
Well, Bunny, thank you so much for being with us today here on Crosspoint.
Oh, thank you so much. It's really been an honor.
Folks, it was a great interview we had today with Bunny Pounds. And folks, it's really important that Christians be involved in this field of politics and especially be voting, but we need Christians involved, just period. That's probably the problem we have a lot in politics, and that field is because people weren't involved, and they weren't involved because they have an idea they're not supposed to be. But God's Word tells us we are to be involved in society. This book I hold in my other hand right now, the Holy Bible, it gives us all the direction we need for every day, and it tells us how to engage our society, how to engage politics, anything. The Bible is never outdated. It works in any generation, and it always will. And it's the most important words you're ever going to read and certainly ever be following. Be sure and join us again next time as we again discuss issues that are affecting the church. Have a great week, and allow God to use you for his purposes so that greater things can be done. Make your life count in God's plans for eternity. I'm Mark Taylor.
Crosspoint is a program produced in Studio 101 at KNAO Radio. Not all of the views on Crosspoint reflect those of the management or staff of KNAO. You may contact the Crosspoint program at 10827 Highway 86 East, Neosho, Missouri, 64850, or by email crosspoint@kneo.org. You can hear Crosspoint four times a week, Saturday morning at 1, Saturday afternoon at 2, Saturday evening at 9, and Sunday evening at 7. You can also listen anytime online at kneo.org.